Hello, and welcome to the TIFF podcast, where we explore the world of public health, interviewing registrars, academics, and leaders in the profession. My name is Kazim Bibijon, and I'm a specialty registrar in public health in the UK. The aim of this podcast is to offer a wide panoramic of what it means to work in public health, while hopefully providing some inspiration to those who would like to train in the profession. So this episode, we're doing something slightly different. We'll be taking a deep dive into an area of public health that isn't as well known as others, but is a crucial pillar of infectious disease outbreak response and public health as a whole. We'll be exploring the world of field epidemiology, a world where on-the-ground disease detectives utilize their epidemiological skills to track, investigate, and understand how to stop the spread of infectious diseases. Field epidemiologists are on the front line of the outbreak response workforce, such as in the COVID-19 pandemic, and are a key component of a resilient pandemic preparedness strategy. But what exactly is field epidemiology, and how does it shape public health as a whole? This episode will be joined by a range of experts in field epidemiology to try and get to the bottom of this question. First, we sat down with Dr. Abahi Egedere, a Deputy Director at the UK Health Security Agency and Head of the National Field Service. Abahi has a number of decades' experience in public health and field epidemiology and has led on a number of national incidents, including COVID-19. Abahi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for asking me to contribute to the podcast.
Now, field epidemiology certainly sounds like a real passion of yours, but I feel like maybe field epidemiology is one of the lesser known areas in public health. Perhaps let's start with an explanation, maybe to our listeners, about the concept of field epidemiology and how it fits into the bigger picture of public health.
My perspective, field epidemiology is part of epidemiology. I mean, public health practitioners recognize that epidemiological science is a key element and a core science that underpins public health practice across the board. And field epidemiology is the application of epidemiological science and methods to investigate urgent public health problems, to identify the causes or cause and identify effective interventions and control measures that you can deploy quite rapidly to address that problem and stop further morbidity and mortality. Now, in many ways, some of the hallmarks of the field epi response is that they're usually defined by problems that are unexpected or classed as urgent. They require that very timely response. And quite often, field epidemiology teams have to deploy into the field or work very closely with a range of other partners to address this time-sensitive problem and implement those necessary control measures. There's rarely an opportunity in field epidemiology, as you would find in other epidemiological disciplines, where you would take your time to conduct the necessary investigation. So a field epidemiologist has to have enough insight and understanding of the nature of the problem to know when enough insights have been accrued to allow effective public health control or action, including policy changes. So that I think essentially is what sets it apart from some of the other epidemiological approaches to resolving public health problems. It's that urgency, the fact that you need to do things very quickly, and you sometimes do that in a pressured, resource-limited environment. And we have to work with a whole range of public health teams and specialists, like public health microbiologists, the health protection teams, behavioral scientists, and others. So that's field epidemiology from my perspective. And hopefully it gives your listeners a sense of what it entails.
Yeah, I mean, from what you've spoken about so far, field epidemiology certainly sounds like quite a dynamic career path. I mean, in your experience in leading many of these complex incidents, what do you think makes a good leader in field epidemiology, particularly when it comes to responding to these large national outbreaks that are, particularly very urgent and in these resource-restricted environments?
One of them I already alluded to, which is having a good understanding and very early having good insight into what is required, because you never really come into an incident or an outbreak with complete understanding, otherwise there wouldn't be an investigation. But at the outset, being clear what the parameters are for deploying into the field and pulling resources in to support that investigation. But to do that, you need to first have very good strategic engagement and relationship building skills. You need to be able to go into the field, identify who the key partners are, stakeholders, and come together with them to get a good understanding of how you're going to approach the investigation and the response, and then go back and translate that into operational delivery with your team, being clear about what's required, who needs to do what, when, and feeding all of that back in a timely manner to whatever central coordinating arrangements you have, whether it's an incident management team or some other committee, and getting those insights, very early intelligence, back in a timely manner so that it actually does have benefits, helping control the situation, whether it's an outbreak or some other incident like a pandemic. And also having an eye for the need to set up the necessary arrangements to facilitate ongoing evaluation, or at the very least, evaluation afterwards. Because one of the things that you want to do for during the course of and after the epidemiology response is to be able to expand the evidence base and underpins what you do. So being able to gather the evidence that says these set of interventions worked during this response and these ones did not is certainly part of what leading a field epidemiology team entails. But there's the other aspect of leading a field epi team, which is around understanding the skill set that you have available to you, the capacity of your team to respond at scale and to surge, being aware, very acutely aware of health and well-being concerns that are arising, and making sure that your team continues to remain resilient without being pushed to the point where they're burned out. This is just a few, I suppose, attributes or core skills that you need to lead the field epi team.
Certainly. So really about that partnership building internally and externally when it comes to filling in those gaps in information and trying to build that resilient workforce. Because, you know, as you've said, field epidemiology can be quite an intense intense subject. So you mentioned there a little bit about the UK HSA field service. I wonder whether you could speak a little bit more about what the field service is at the UK Health Security Agency and what functions it provides in this bigger picture of field epidemiology and outbreak response.
The UK HSA field service is a national service. We have 9 geographically dispersed multidisciplinary teams, and the teams usually comprise of epidemiologists, data scientists, public health microbiologists and other scientists, and business support and admin function. They're dispersed and essentially located in all 9 English regions. Usually they're co-located with the health protection teams, which a number of your listeners will be familiar with. And we work very closely with them, with local authorities, NHS and other partners. As part of that local and regional health protection system, where we all work collectively to deliver an effective health protection service. So field service, we see our role in that system as essentially helping to deliver in a number of areas. The first being providing high quality field and applied epidemiology and public health microbiology expertise to detect and respond to outbreaks and incidents of usually infectious diseases, but essentially a broader template encompassing also environmental hazards on occasion. And we do that by maintaining a number of systems and processes that allow us to detect outbreak signals very early, contribute to the dynamic risk assessment of these signals, alert partners, and lead the field investigation of these outbreaks and incidents. We also undertake both rapid and other forms of research, which are more on a slower pace, to improve the evidence base that underpins health protection practice and maintain a suite of public health intelligence outputs that draw on existing surveillance data and help provide both situational awareness, epidemic intelligence functions, but also give local and regional partners a good understanding of the burden and trends in key public health conditions and infectious diseases within their local and regional settings, and also nationally. And a component of the of field services is the UK Field Epidemiology Training Programme, which essentially is a collaboration that we have developed and maintained with public health colleagues in the devolved administrations, and is a 2-year competency-based training program in applied epidemiology. And if you think about the remit of field services, and one of the reasons for setting up field services a while back, which was to help develop and maintain a flexible and mobile workforce that is resilient, but also help develop the capability and capacity within the UK. The FETP has been developed over time to strengthen our ability to do that, and it's been quite successful. The other thing that Field Service does is our role in the conduct of research, as I mentioned earlier. But in particular, we build very strong collaborations with partners within UKGSA, our home agency, but also the health protection research units and academic institutions. A lot of it is aimed at operational research topics, the very things that frontline health protection services and teams need good evidence on to help them improve the quality of what they do and continue to essentially provide an effective service. And there's a last strand to our work, which is small by comparison to what we do around incident detection and response and surveillance in the UK, but it's nonetheless still important because it contributes to the global health security agenda, and that we work very closely with our colleagues in the UKGSA Global Operations Team to support any international deployments into other countries, but in addition, help to support the development of surveillance and disease response capabilities and capacity in other countries.
It seems like field epidemiology is not just about outbreak response, from what you say. There are these very strong links to academia and other public health organizations to bring it all together and develop that science of field epidemiology that you've spoken about. You mentioned there a little bit about the field epidemiology workforce. I wonder, it was really interesting actually at the recent WHO World Health Assembly, where the Director General made mention in a speech about pandemic preparedness, about the importance of maintaining a strong global field epidemiology workforce in order to prepare for the next pandemic. From your perspective, how does field epidemiology fit into pandemic preparedness and global health as a whole? I know you've mentioned there about that strong partnership with the global health ops team at the UKHSA.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to our very close working relationship with the global health and the global operations team, what I mentioned earlier about the UK field epidemiology training program, which helps develop the next generation of applied epidemiologists. A lot of our activity in field epidemiology essentially also contributes to pandemic preparedness in a kind of very broad sense. When you think about the role that field epidemiology teams play in development of disease detection systems, helping to design and maintain and regularly evaluate surveillance systems and infrastructure, the research role that we play, both in the rapid context but also in slower time to improve the evidence base, all of this informs that pandemic preparedness work. So if you think broadly about pandemic preparedness, you need to be able to gather the relevant intelligence that allows you to then decide what the appropriate arrangements are or framework should be to support preparedness, response, and recovery. And field epi teams are stitched into that quite closely. But during the course of any response, we're constantly gathering evidence that forms that very useful loop where it goes back into preparedness discussions and plans and helps us to continuously improve our preparedness and response arrangements. So it's the epidemiological science that underpins pandemic preparedness. We contribute to that. The work that goes into education and training and developing the capabilities and capacity for pandemic response, we contribute to that. And then there's very specific research that allows us to tackle questions that have come out of previous outbreaks or field response work and bridge evidence gaps. We also contribute to that.
Yeah, so it's really about that that circle of continuous evaluation, the cycle of continuously improving.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Abahi, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure you probably motivated some aspiring field epidemiologists in the field. Great. So one of the main takeaways for me from that conversation with Abahi was really how dynamic and fast-paced field epidemiology is, and the role that it fills in building a broader, resilient pandemic preparedness workforce. He also mentioned about the importance of those robust technical abilities of field epidemiologists in order to be able to apply their skills in a range of challenging outbreak scenarios and situations at home and abroad. And as you heard, one of the ways field epidemiologists are trained are on field epidemiology training programs. But what exactly is a field epidemiology training program? And what are the core skills of a field epidemiologist? To answer this question, we sat down with Dr. Louise Cool, the director of the UK Field Epidemiology Training Programme. Louise, it's great to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks.
So in terms of the Field Epidemiology Training Programme itself, for listeners that may not know what an FETP programme is, do you want to maybe talk through our listeners what the UK FETP program is like, and what does it really aim to achieve in the bigger picture of public health?
It's a two-year program. It's a UK-wide program, so we cover Wales and Northern Ireland as well as England, and we're hoping in the future to include Scotland as well. It's a competency-based program covering the core domains of epidemiology practice, so surveillance, outbreak investigation, research, science communication, and capacity building and training, all underpinned by a strong biostatistical component as well. And it's very much about cohort-based learning, about developing a cohort that learn together and share their own experiences together. It's got about 13 weeks of face-to-face training in sort of week-long modules, which can be fairly intense. And in between that, people are undertaking projects to meet those competency areas. So very much learning by doing, and as well as trying to build individuals' confidence and competence in the epidemiology, what we're trying to do is build a network, a cadre of individuals who are both confident and competent in their epi, but also build those professional networks which we hope they carry through beyond FETP into their future professional careers, which provide that ongoing support and those relationships, that familiarity with both methods, common vocabulary, but also having people you can reach out to, because we know that all these things are components of having strong resilience. If you already know how people work, you know who to speak to, you already have a relationship with them, it makes it so much easier to get going quickly in a crisis. So that's part of the overall goal as well.
So it's really, you know, what you were saying about the technical sort of backbone of the program, that's sort of complemented by that networking component of being able to draw on different teams when it comes to outbreaks. Just on that note, are there any examples that you might have just to sort of contextualize how fellows and field epidemiology may work in an example of, let's say, a national outbreak across different regions? How does that sort of networking come into fruition? Why is it sort of useful to have that network?
Through FETP, we have people working throughout our services who've gone through that training, and then we have the fellows as well. Because we've built this commonality and understanding across those individuals, it makes it much easier for people to, if you like, up sticks and go and support another team and add to that resilience. So people may not only know each other, but they can get straight into doing what's required because we have this commonality in method. So when it came, for example, with the COVID pandemic, many of our fellows, many of our alumni were, you know, heavily involved in the response work, whether it's supporting local outbreaks, whether it was deploying in other regions, whether it was getting involved with some of the national response. And most of our fellows did a little bit of all of that, and they were able to move across fairly seamlessly and work with colleagues they'd already been exposed to, using methods that had this sort of common approach underpinning. So I think that was probably tested very well during COVID. And then again, subsequently with more recent incidents like monkeypox and hepatitis, et cetera, We've seen how it's really possible to deploy fellows to support the response, but also that our alumni still have that connection. People can just, many people are still in touch with their cohorts and other fellows and can easily reach out to their colleagues and say, can anybody got any information on this? Can anybody help me with that? Probably the COVID tested us all to extremes. But yeah. I think those who had that connection through the FETP experience probably benefited from that, I would hope at least.
But you mentioned a little bit there about FETP fellows deploying overseas and getting involved in other activities, whether it's monkeypox you mentioned. Is there a sort of global health component to FETP programs as well?
So there isn't a specific global health component. But what I would say is that one of our program objectives, as well as trying to produce these cohorts of individuals, is also to embed good epidemiological practice across our organisations and support UKHSA in delivering its global health objectives. And we do that mostly by working with the global health team, and that might include deployments to get involved with outbreak response or surveillance initiatives or teaching and training. And sometimes those are, for the most part, they are deployments in country, but we also have examples of fellows doing pieces of work remotely, both in supporting training or in supporting. We had a fellow supporting remotely at Cox Bazar during the COVID epidemic, for example. So both physically and remotely, we've had people undertaking deployments, and we try and continue that relationship. We've also had a graduated fellow go and work with the public health team as an in-country lead. So that relationship with global health is really important to us and is pretty active.
And just in that global health context, so FETP programs, you spoke a lot about how it's very much a global network of programs. I know recently at the WHO World Health Assembly, the Director General spoke a little bit about the importance of these strong workforces of field epidemiologists across the world to prepare for the next sort of pandemic. In that sort of light, how would you characterise the role of the UK FETP programme when it comes to not only UK sort of pandemic preparedness, but the sort of wider context?
One thing that I think is really important, particularly now that we are a UK-based FETP, that we continue to try and promote a world view as we're going through the training programme and don't become too insular in our focus on the UK, because we, you know, we may be physically an island, but immunologically and infectious disease wise, we're not. So it's really important that our fellows have global context. They understand how things work in different countries. And we do really encourage them to build their wider networks with people learning and delivering epidemiology across the world. So that's very important. In terms of reflecting impact at home, I think one of the things we have tried to do is reflect on our curriculum and what we include. So we're it's starting to include a lot more on risk assessment, because I think that's, because we realise that's very important. Scientific communication we've always included, but I think we've tried to strengthen that a bit, because we've learnt how important that is when response to a national emergency. The other thing perhaps which is important and which we do is we keep an eye on any of our, you know, curricular developments in the context of the wider prioritisation. So whether that's through WHO or through PEPINET, aligning with our colleagues in Europe, we are all frequently having discussions about how to make the FETPs that we deliver as fit for purpose as possible. And obviously it's a changing context. And so, you know, we've learned a lot through COVID about things which are important to include, contact tracing, for example. We never used to include anything particular in detail about contact tracing beyond perhaps, you know, thinking about TB or meningitis or something like that. But we've all had to sort of understand how to scale up our contact tracing, and when it's important to do at-scale contact tracing and when it isn't. So these are, you know, new elements of core learning, which we now recognise we need to build into our programmes. So these programmes have to evolve, and most of the challenges we face are common across the world in terms of the skills people need. But obviously there's local nuances and local priorities. So I think our goal is to try and make sure we produce people who graduate from the programme who can really add that extra heft, if you like, to the UK response. But we can't see that in isolation. We have to see that as part of a wider global response and be aware of, you know, what we need to help people develop in terms of their skills and their attitudes as well, when it comes to thinking about health security.
Yeah, just on the point there you made about, you know, being able to respond to outbreaks quickly as a workforce, you know, field epidemiology can be quite an intense career at times, particularly during COVID-19 or, you know, national outbreaks. What types of people are the sort of the fellowship sort of looking for in terms of what would make a good fellow and a subsequently a good field epidemiologist? Is there a sort of a type of person or characteristic types that you think would make a good field epidemiologist?
Well, it takes all types, right? I think that's really important not to lose sight of that. The easy answer to your question, I think, is an enthusiastic one. You know, enthusiasm and commitment takes anybody a really long way. So that's very, very much important to us. I mean, people who come into FETP programmes, they come from a whole range of different disciplines. Some are medics, some are scientists, and we welcome that because part of the ethos of the programme is that people are learning and sharing their skills. So we want people, yes, who have a degree of numeracy, but what we want is people who actually can see the bigger picture, or we can help them to see the bigger picture, and who are enthusiastic and committed to, you know, what infectious disease epidemiology can achieve. So that's probably the single most important thing, really.
So just moving on to after the FETP program, what sort of roles do fellows typically go in after they've graduated?
I would say that almost without exception, most go into careers which make use of their training, either epidemiology or health protection, either in UKHSA or Public Health Wales or the Public Health Agency in Northern Ireland. Some go into formal public health training and follow that route. Others go on perhaps to do a PhD or go and work in global health or public health leadership roles. So we have now a really strong network of alumni working in different roles in different parts of our organisations, but all really making use, I believe, of their training they got whilst they were on the FETP and maintaining their connections with their, with their colleagues that they trained with. I mean, I have to say we are incredibly proud of what they continue to achieve. And, you know, it was really clear, you know, again, in some of the recent incidents, the sort of critical roles that some of our alumni were playing in those responses. I think, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, the Hotel California with FETP, if people know that reference. You know, once you become an FETP fellow and an alumni, it's very hard to leave that network. And I think most people don't wish to, because, you know, those real benefits from being part of the network.
Great. So we're coming to the end of the segment. Perhaps let's end with a piece of advice. So for those who are pursuing a career in field epidemiology or looking to apply to the field epidemiology program, what's your one piece of advice to them?
I think it would be to reflect on whether you really do want to do infectious disease epidemiology. And that if you do, if you know, then you need to be able to show your passion for it. I think many of us who work in this field are deeply passionate about this topic. And it's really important that you maybe have tried it out a little bit before you apply for the FETP, you get a little bit of experience in maybe a field service team or the equivalent in other organisations, you know, or in one of our central teams, to really get a sense of whether you're also bitten by that bug to sort of work in this so exciting field. But I think that's one of the things we're always looking for when we are, you know, reviewing the many applications that we get. We're looking for somebody who can demonstrate that they really do know, they've checked, and they really do know they're passionate about this topic.
That's a really great piece of advice to end on. But great, thanks so much for joining us, Louise.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Lovely to see you.
Great. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it valuable, please leave us a review and follow us on Twitter for news and updates on future episodes. Thank you.